We're in lesson 26 in the book of Daniel, and as we study out the Word of God, rightly divided, this is one of the courses in Grace School of Bible that you're learning. So if you're writing notes and all, we do a little test now and then. It's coming. I just got to let you know it's coming down the pike. But if you recall, we have looked at the books of Daniel already in chapters 3, 4, and 5, and 6. And of Daniel, and it's typically of the moral features in the last days. Now, we use the timeline as a study tool, but in the last days, Daniel's looking over here, okay? Daniel's not foreseeing the body of Christ, and that gives us a typical example of the features of the times of the Gentiles. Now, from Daniel's way over here to way over here where God sets up his kingdom through Jesus Christ, we're in the times of the Gentiles even today. And that's why you got people ruling over you. You know, that type of thing is presidents and countries and all that. And chapter 3 deals with the issue of the institution and attempt to institute a universal religion. That's what we're studying out now. And we already studied out some things about the religion of Babylon, what that has to do. But we already seen what Baal worship is in the Bible. And you can identify it with the world around us. If you look out there right now, you can see the religious system of Babylon is taking effect, idols and stuff. What Nebuchadnezzar does here is attempt to institute a universal religion, just as the Antichrist will in the last days. And if you notice, the Antichrist, we did last week, he uses kings. He uses men in a powerful positions, just like God does. He puts kings. He used kings throughout his time. But their universal religion, what Nebuchadnezzar was setting up over here, it's going to be fulfilled over here in the days of Jacob's trouble. Now, we'll start in chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll pick up chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province, to come to dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, then the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province. If you read this, you realize he didn't leave anybody out. You understand that, don't you? Mm-hmm. And were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, That what time of ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the subject, the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now, if you underline the word worship there, what he is doing, Nebuchadnezzar is dedicating the image in a religious context. It's what's going on there. Now, some of you probably never been a part of different type of churches where they have worship service like that. They sing about 30 minutes worth of songs. And then they, you know, do all kinds of stuff, religious type of stuff. Whether it's gospel, Christian rock, whatever, music is music, guys. And it can influence you. And it's dedicated at a religious service. And what he's doing is instituting a state religion and a religion of one, and proclaiming himself not just to be the head of gold that we've seen in chapter 2, but what? The whole image. He made the whole image gold. We already talked about that in the past. He sets up to defy the plan and purpose that God said in prophecy to Daniel. Remember he had that dream? What did Daniel do? He interpreted. Nebuchadnezzar is doing at this time, he's going to deny that. No, I'm not going to believe you're God. I'm going to be God. I'm setting up his, he's going to be the whole image. He don't care what God says. And Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the coming willful king who will someday set up and defile God Almighty. You know who that is, don't you, over here in the Antichrist? You know the five I wills in Isaiah 14? God uses five. Five is death. Five is division. So he's going to use those. I will. And he don't care. And he sets up an image and demands the people to worship that image. Now, you don't know any religions out there today that does that either. You know, it sets images up there and you got to worship that. There's if I may say without being ugly, you ever heard of Freemasons?
Yep.
You know, they allow you to worship any image you want. Any God, high power you want. You go in the temples and there are images all the way around them. They're not the only ones does that. You know, you can walk in any church and they got images up. They got them out there on the street corners. And you look at these wonderful marble buildings and all the images. What I don't understand, sometimes they look like they got gargoyles up there. You ever see those on those churches? And it's like, why? But anyway, this is why Apostle Paul says that if a man is an idolater, that he bows down to images and icons, even if he's called a brother, guess what you're supposed to do?
Separate from.
Disassociate yourself. That's hard. When you look at a brother that knows he's saved and all that stuff, and he's going to idolatry, and he's worshiping that stuff, you got to look at him and say, I can't eat with you. That's tough, isn't it? Don't you want to win his heart? But you're not going to win his heart if he's caught up in that stuff. His heart should be saved anyway. That's why I'm going to share this with you. It may be hard for you to believe that Paul, in his 13 epistles he writes, he never writes to a lost person, ever. They're all saved individuals in that church, and they're doing things. Corinthians is not a model church. And if you see them, people are like, whoa, you're doing this. You with me? That's why he comes down on them. That's why when we study the Word of God, he says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The book of Romans, the first book to the body of Christ, it's not the first book Paul wrote, is the book of Romans, it's doctrine. You get profit out of that doctrine. What's the next book? What's after Romans, guys? Anybody out there today? Hello? What's after Romans? Who?
First Corinthians.
Thank you. Book of Corinthians.
That's a trick question.
No. Hey, I'll never trick you.
Yeah.
Well, wrap it down that. No, the book of Corinthians is the book of reproof. He is reproofing their behavior. The next book is what?
Second.
Well, no, the next book. The next book. Thank you. It's the book of corrections. They was saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. These Judaizers come in and said, that's not good enough. You believe, well, it's okay you believe in Jesus Christ, but you have to be circumcised. I'll go further. You have to be baptized. You have to join this church. You have to pay tithes and all that stuff. They're putting them back under law, so he's correcting their behavior. Stop that. What's after Galatians?
Ephesians.
Thank you. That's another book of doctrine. It talks about the advanced mystery truths. And if you notice, Ephesians don't go back and talk about you're saved, justified, sanctified, glorified. Paul already assumes that you know that you already justified, sanctified. So he don't bring that up. If you notice, Paul don't bring back up, oh, you got to get saved again. No, you're saved. That's a book of doctrine. It talks about the advanced mystery truth. What's after Ephesians?
Philippians,
okay. That's a book of reproof. What they was doing, their behavior was great, but their mind wasn't right. So he was reproofing their mind. If you watch how he reproofs the book of the Corinthian church, it's nothing like he did come down hard on Corinthians. Man, he came down hard on Corinthians. You with me? That's a saved church, but the things they was doing. Let's get back. What's after Philippians?
Colossians.
He's correcting their mind. They was saved. They was doing. Their mind wasn't right. Then what's after Colossians?
First Thessalonians.
Okay, you have doctrine, reproof, correction, everything in there. By the way, that's probably one of the first books he wrote, and he settles the rapture thing right off the bat. He talks about the catching away. All that stuff is already settled. So back in those days, people had issues just like you and I had issues. Well, what about? It's right there. So what Paul's saying here, you disassociate yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Why? The kind of situation is connected with the system will ruin you and the people under your influence. We talked about some prayer requests today. You know, how you get away from this doctrine, you move away from it, it's going to suck you in believing all kinds of stuff, whether it's socialism, communism, all kinds of stuff. You know, that leads to other things. At least finally you just deny the whole Bible. King James Bible's not good enough. I need this version over here. It's more easy to understand. With me? King James Bible is written in 6th grade English. Now, I might have flunked out 6th grade 2 or 3 times, but I do believe the Word of God. I'm just joking you. But I do believe that we have the inerrant Word of God in the King James Bible. Now, that's Baal worship, guys. When you worship things like that, Baal worship, you may think, how can that don't happen today? It happens today. Nebuchadnezzar institutes that image dedication and worship service. That's what he's doing there. We've been over this, but the idea is instituting that state religion. What is interesting is in verse 5, he uses what to do it?
Music.
The Pied Piper. You know, the music soothes the savage beats. Listen, I was listening to a tune coming back from the gym yesterday. And I've got XM radio, so I'm listening to all kinds of stuff. And it was a really good song back in the 80s. And I'm listening to that tune. I'm patting my feet like, dun, dun. I'm not going to tell you what it was. And then they have a studio version, and then they have a live version, and then they have a demo version. The demo version is more clear. You can understand every word they're saying. You ever hum a song, sung a song, you didn't know the words, so you made your own words up? And you realize, did he say that? And I realized he was saying that, and I was saying a different word all my life. You know, and now I'm like, music can influence you. And we already talked about that, but music is a universal language. Abby likes music. It's okay. I like music. You like music? Yeah. It's a universal language, yeah. You know, we was listening to Willie's Roadhouse coming down the road yesterday, and they was playing all kinds of music, wasn't it, Gene? Gene goes, I've never heard that before. And his old Jimmy the newsboy. And it's an old news guy, and he's, you know, good. Jimmy Brown, the newsman, a newsboy. And, it, you know, good thing. And then I turned it, I said, check this out, 1950s, 50s on 50s, you know, and just settled music that our dads listened to. And I know when I was growing up, he was like, you're going to hell, boy, listen to that music. I'm like, but Dad, you listen to this music. So we can go back and forth all day long. But it will come down to a final instrument that Satan is using to fix up and unify in the last days. Remember, we'd already talked about who Lucifer was. He had a pipe organ in him. And he could probably sing better than anybody that God ever created. Because he led the worship music. So he comes down here, he corrupts things. Just like he corrupted the universe. Just like he's corrupting religion. But don't you ever believe that music is just a matter of freedom of choice and lifestyle. That's the out, isn't it? But Mom, you did it, but Dad, it's not a freedom of choice and lifestyle. You can do whatever you want to, but it will affect you. It's an instrument that you need to know that Satan puts in his arsenal. And it's not just something that's harmful running around out there in the world. Now, I know there's people in churches today, that's why they'd much rather have gospel sings than have contemporary music. And they go, this gospel music's a lot better than this contemporary music. Just listen to the words. Is the doctrine in that music that you listen to, is it doctrinal sound that lines up today? No. You know, I know that one, if I can, let the water and the blood, what's that? Be of sin, a double cure, rock of ages, cleft for me. Have you heard that song? How many sung it and knows it word by word?
Rock of ages.
It says, let the water and the blood be of sin, a double cure. It's taking the blood and the water to take care of your sin debt. That's not doctrinal correct. You know? So music has a lot to do with that. And I love music. That's why some of the things I'm trying to pick out. This thing, we got 99 songs. And every one of them is not in that book. So I have to pick the ones that might line up. Anyway, enough of that. But we need to base it on Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. Now go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 6. That was just an advertisement. Bring you up to speed. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. In other words, they're going to have to enforce religion. If you don't worship, we're going to what? Kill you. We're going to burn you. That wouldn't go on today. You don't know any religions out there that would, if you don't go what they say, they'll kill you.
Maybe Islam.
We might see another one or two. Verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sebek, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Everyone is going to be together. They're going to worship together, and they're agreed together about this thing. There isn't going to be any lack of unity in the midst of what's going on there. Right? He gathered all them people. You think they're going to go up against the king? No, because what's going to happen?
They're going to die.
This would be how real, this would be a good time for evangelizing. People want to be evangelists? There's a good place to start.
And finish.
Yeah, and finish, yeah. You know, the people says all the time, you know, I believe the right doctrine, but I'm just going to go along and not rock the boat and cause any problems, and I'll just slide in there. I've done that in the past. You've probably done that. I'm just going to stay. They let me talk about right division here, but get you to teach it. See, they're nobody going to rock that boat here in Babylon. And because the pressure is on to do what they're going to do. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to burn you up. That type of thing. You probably say, oh, I don't want to die today. And you just go right along. I know. If I know you like I know myself, we don't want to cause problems. And I've been called a troublemaker in my past. I've been called a hard head. I've been called a Bible thumper. You know, because I believe what I believe. And when you push me to it, I'm going to stand firm. You know, my wife taps me on the knee sometimes. Say, hey, you know, just relax a little bit. Don't be so ugly. Yeah, and it might seem ugly, but people say, man, you're zeal. Well, because God's a zealous God. You know, that type of thing. He goes, this would be a real good time for that. And do you know the pressure? Do you know what the pressure of religious system is?
Conform.
What?
Conform.
Or don't what? Rock the boat. Don't make any waves here.
Right.
You know, hey, we'll take your money. Mm-hmm. We'll take it. We'll sit you down here. We'll put you out there mowing grass.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wash windows. We'll put you on evangelism clinic. We'll have you out there on the street corners. You with me? Don't rock the boat. I remember that time when we was talking about 92, we was going to Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, where we was at, and we was teaching the book of Acts, and these dispensationalists, Sherry's cousin, was coming to us, teaching us some things, and when he got to reading, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea, and I raised my hand. Isn't he talking to the Jews here? And they said, yeah. And kept reading like there was nothing else. And I'm like, he ain't talking to me. You with me? I wasn't born a Hebrew. Now I could become a Jew. That's the religious system. That's what they're trying to suck you into. You know, whether it's Catholicism, baptism, or whatever the case may be, it's a form of Judaism. Look, you hear that all the time in this church and every church you get into. Don't rock the boat. And there's more places like this in the Bible. It's preached and taught. And it's more said, you need to be in a place where they teach the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? And you need to be in a place where they teach the Word of God right and divide it out of the authorized version of the King James Bible. It's authorized for the English-speaking language. If I spoke German, I'd find me a German Bible. Spanish, so on and so on. But God knows it's said around the place, and there's no reason to try to hide it. If you were still in a church, denomination church, or going, or that type of thing, and you know this message, and you started getting involved in it, God knows that. But you might try to hide it because I don't want to, you know, make Aunt Jean mad, that type of thing. And people say, don't, you know, let's just don't cause trouble. You know, just put it aside. Peace at any price. You heard that? Just peace. You know who Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, was?
Yeah.
You know who he was. He tried that. Guess what happened?
Backfired.
He gave the whole Europe away. Hitler came in there and took it all. Just have peace. Just have peace. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of innocent boys died on the battlefield. Peace at any cost. Do you know what it means to maintain peace? Or maintain at any price? Do you understand that? Isn't peace, it's truth. With me? It's truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and what? Sell it not. You want this truth. You want to buy into it. That's why I always say, you know, we don't pass a plate around here. You know, the basket there. If you're getting fed, you give. If you're not getting fed, don't give. You know, that type of thing. But you buy the truth and sell it not. And it was first that the wisdom that cometh down from above is first, that's what the Bible says, is first pure, then peaceful. God's word is pure words. And Paul says that as much lieth in us, let us live peacefully with all men. Now, I struggle with that because I've always been taught in my early age, turn the other cheek, right? You didn't have any, people say, if somebody comes after you, just turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Just give them the other cheek. That's not what Paul says here. He says, if possible, live peacefully with all men. Is it possible? If possibly.
Yeah.
There's some people you can't live with. And when they come against the doctrine, guys, this is where I draw the line. I've disassociated myself with a lot of brethren out there because they choose not to believe this word right and divided anymore. And what I do, there's called a secondary separation. She might like somebody that's not associated with the doctrine. I don't disassociate with the person she knows. I just disassociate with her. You know what I mean? So who does it put on the spot? It puts the person that knows this doctrine that's associating himself with other. Now, that's an easy way to do it. On Facebook, I go down there and just check off. You want to run around with these guys over here that don't believe the King James Bible or teach this Acts 28 doctrine or whatever? That's your business. But I'm not going to be associated with that. Because when you're associated with them and I'm associated with you, guess what that looks like on Facebook and in the world? We're all peaceful, unity, and all that stuff. You need to do as much as you can, every way you can. You need to speak the truth with what? Love. Sometimes I don't. I speak with authority, by the Word of God. And that irritates a lot of people. I like what we talked about in the past. Have you considered this? Isn't that much better than say, hey, you need to see this.
Yeah.
With me? Just go, consider this. And they're like, whoa. He didn't beat me down. He didn't step on my toes. Paul says, consider this, and the Lord will give you what?
Understanding
in what?
All
things. Just consider what Paul's saying in the Word of God. And he's like, whoa, that makes sense.
Question.
Yes?
If somebody doesn't believe the King James Version and disagrees with you on other things, yet they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the shed blood on the cross, and they're still saved, right?
If they trust Christ died for sins,
yeah.
Burden, yes. The King James Bible is authority. They don't have the authority in their life. see, and they'll go find other authorities, and they're saying, no, they're their own authority. But that's me. You always need to speak it in love, guys, because there's no value if it doesn't come that way. And I need to learn how to speak it more in love. But if you know me, if you know my kids, I can just say, now, don't do that. Why are you yelling at me? Why? Yelling at you. I can yell at you. You know, all that stuff is, oh, they yelled at me. And I said, welcome to the United States of the Offended. You know, that time. It's just sad. And then the mother's the same way. Why are you raising your voice? I'm like, I'm not raising my voice. I can raise my voice. Just joking. But anyway, you know, that type of thing. It just, they just get, I don't know. We don't care what your doctrine is. Just bow down. That's what they're saying. Conform to unity. Be one of us. Don't stand over there and make waves. Now, you guys are standing over here, and we fly one flag here. And that's one thing I was taught 15 years ago when we started this church. You fly one flag and you let people know what you stand for. Mm-hmm. You know, and they see that flag like, that's it. And we've had numbers of people come through the doors here, you know, and they've gone. At least they came through and heard some truth. Mm-hmm. You can't make them stay, right? I learned all the time ago, you can set the table with cookies, for instance, but you can't make people eat that cookie. So don't get offended. There's more to take home, ain't there? Yeah, you know, that type of thing. You know, you can set a big spread out here, and you may not like mashed potatoes. You know, that type of thing. But don't eat it. You just sit. But the ones who do eat it, guess what? You feed them. Luke chapter 12. Well, I'll stay in there. Go to Exodus chapter 20. But Luke chapter 12, verse 51. I'm gonna read this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know about him when he came here? Don't they say he's full? He came here with love and loved everybody. He says in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? ? I tell you nay, but rather division. The Lord spoke truth. The Lord seen what kind of religion was out there and what it was doing to his people, and he caused division. He put division between mom and dads, sisters and brothers, all that stuff. Why? To get you to come to the truth. Everybody was conforming to that Babylon stuff. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Wherefore, at this time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now here you got to see, you got some people say, hey, Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, there's some Jews over here. They're not bowing down. Now, well, the words accuse the Jews brings to mind Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, where Satan is the accuser of the brethren. With me? They're going to accuse the brethren. God still has a faithful remnant of Jews in Babylon who wouldn't bow down or their knees to idols. And they had learned what God had said. You know, that little remnant out there. That's why I'm not surprised that we don't have 150 people in here today. There's a little remnant that's going to believe no matter what. They're going to stick to it. And go back to Exodus chapter 20 and you'll see what God had warned them not to do this sort of thing. And they have learned their lessons all through the history. Verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, and that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Imagine that. That shall not bow down their thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon their children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. These boys in Babylon knew that the reason they were over there in Babel was because of what? You remember why they got in captivity?
Or the worst.
Yeah, the sins. Yeah, the worshipfulness of their sins. And that their fathers bowed down to Baal. See? That's why they went into captivity. And those boys said, no thank you. We're talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we don't want any part of that. That took a lot of backbone, didn't it, guys? You think about some of the situations we're involved in. Sometimes I don't want to partake in that. And sometimes I just do a little bit. I don't want to partake in that. I don't want to do it. They'll suck you right in there. And it would have been real easy for one of the princes of Babylon, one of the leading rulers in Babylon, to go along with that. And this is how three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got there. They were some of the leaders. They were some of those people that Nebuchadnezzar had mentioned. And they were right front up on the right up in there in that echelons, if you will. And they said, no. It would be easy to go along, but they're not going along with it. They're going to stay faithful and true with what they believe, what God told them not to do. Isn't that amazing? All that time, the nation Israel was whoring around with other religions, and they go into captivity, and there's three little Hebrew children there, not believing, not bowing down. I'm sure there was more. Okay? Notice what happens to them as they do that. Daniel chapter 3, verse 9. Daniel chapter 3, verse 9. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They gave the king what? A proper, polite greeting, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They didn't say, who are you? They were serving that king. Daniel, verse 10. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom they have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. See, these accusers are going in and say, hey, there's three over here who's not doing that. They didn't like them to begin with. Right? They knew that Nebuchadnezzar knew their God. Right? He knew what Daniel said and stuff. He knew this. The Chaldeans come in and begin to accuse Shadrach, Meshach. Notice in verse 12 it states that they, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't regard you, Nebuchadnezzar. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship the golden image. They don't worship you. They don't go to your church. They don't follow your orders. They don't give you tithes. You with me? All that stuff. You know, I'm pretty sure many of you have seen that in churches in the past where they just, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to get rid of this. I remember the time when we was in the Baptist church and the deacons decided they was going to have a vote of confidence on the preacher there. I didn't know what that meant. You know what that means? Yeah, exactly. And deacons are. And he stood up in that pulpit. He says, I will not put this congregation through this. I'll resign. That's what he said. Well, a couple weeks later, there's a business meeting coming up. So we're going to the business meeting, and we're going to stand behind our preacher because he was doing the right thing. What it was is the 10th year of that association, of that Baptist organization, guess what he gets to do? He gets a retirement. It was his 9th and a half year. Hmm. And the history of that was going down through all the pages. So if you was 10 years, you had tenured, whatever it is, like a teacher, and they would have to pay you into your retirement. Well, we went to the business thing, and they started. And these deacons popping up like popcorn. You know, that type of thing.
Sunday school attendance
yeah,
down.
Yeah, that's what it was, attendance, church attendance. And you know what that means? No money coming in. When you hear that in a church, our attendance is down, there's no money coming in. You don't hear me harping on it. But that what it was, attendance. So that was their way of saying there's no money coming in. So I'm ignorant of what's going on. And I raised my hand and stood up and I said, I think we need a vote of confidence on the deacons. Oh, man, that went, what? We're tabling this matter. You know, he ended up leaving, and we did too. But the thing is, I'm like, the deacons are servants. Elders helps run the church. But I didn't see them out there mowing a graveyard, vacuuming thing. They hired people. With me? That's the same thing in this religious system back here. That's why Jesus Christ said, I come to cause division. That's why when you understand these things, you're like, whoa. And if you did desire to be a deacon, that's what you want. I desire the office of a bishop. I wanted that position. And I know that required responsibilities. Now, some of you may think, hey, you ain't got no responsibility at all. Yes, I do. And there had been a couple guys that came up over the last 15 years and asked to be deacons. I don't say you would make a good deacon, because you know what chances are you would do? I really don't want to do it, Barb, but I'm going to do it because Ed wants me to. That's wrong motivation. You have to be that desire. Let's move on. Look, the Chaldeans shall say that their political decree was set up, ordinance and law was passed. And they accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on political grounds for not obeying their religion. And this is what happened when you get in church and state stuck together. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that? Yes. In the times of the last days, of the times of the Gentiles, are going to be a universal church. And that church is going to be a political coercion to produce members, converts, and adherents. And it's going on today, and it has been for the last 2,000 years. Now, we pick on the, here's one. The Council of Trent, you ever heard that? In 1545, passed decrees that were binding in every country where Roman Catholics held sway. Every country where the Roman Catholics was in, this decree went out. And said, if you don't believe that the Apocrypha is a part of the inspired Word of God, or if you don't believe in justification by grace through faith, if you believed in justification, like we do, by grace plus nothing, or if you don't believe in baptismal regeneration at the hands of the Roman Catholic priests, then you were anathema. You was an accursed. And the government had the right to murder you in your stand in the public and say it. And some of the most barbaric, murderous, butcherous times on the face of this earth happened as a result of that counter-reformation. Now we look around today and look at the Islam doing that. The Catholics did the same thing. Can you imagine him coming in your neighborhood and saying, bow down to the Pope, bow down to religion, or we're going to cut your head off? Chances are you're going to do that, aren't you? I don't want to die. And they probably pulled you out and made the example out of you anyway. That's what happened to the Spaniards that came across here and came up through South America, Central America. That's why you got Catholicism all the way through here. And they came up in the North America that way, killing people. The Valley of Piedmont, the Spanish Inquisition, and all those went under the authority and sanction of the government to kill heretics. Then that king got ousted out, and a Protestant got in there. And he saved people, you know, believe in justification through grace plus nothing else. And then another Catholic got in there. Protestant Catholic. You know, Ireland was that way, right? The NRA and all that stuff. There's fighting Protestant, fighting Catholic, killing each other in the name of religion. You know who those heretics was in this type, what we're talking about? Bible-believing Protestants. That's who they killed. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Some of you belong to that. You probably don't realize that the history's there. And you know, what's sad is, they would probably kill you today. if they could get away with. As a murder, apparently suicide in a jail cell the other day of a billionaire that was associated with other people. But we'll get it. But look, do you know the greatest minority in the world? You know who they are? It's not a group of women. None of them. It's not an ethnic group, blacks, Hispanics, whatever. It's not that. All claim to be a minority. You know who the biggest minority is, greatest minority in the world is? The independent Bible-believing Protestants. That's kind of sad, isn't it? They will push you under the door these days if you believe who you are, you know, Christ Jesus. You can't speak about God. You can't speak about right division. That's why I believe the grace message that we have today is not a race message. It's all people message. And that's what everybody needs to hear. You want to get out of poverty? You want to get out of hatred? Teach the Word of God right and divide it. And you realize, whoa, it ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And this is what He wants me to do. All these groups. But minority that doesn't have the right is a bunch of saved, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching people. If you don't believe that, hang out with me a couple of days. Go out here and witness. Go out here and talk to people on the street corner. Go ahead and talk to your little social clubs and see what they do with you. They'll give you the right foot of fellowship right out the door. It's sad. And nobody wants to be rejected, guys. But just got to remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message. You stand firm. You get behind the Word. And we are the real minority in the world. And that's what these Chaldean people do. They accuse Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on political grounds for not obeying religion. What's that? You go on and see what's going on over the world. You know, we always say we're blessed to live in the United States of America, don't we? And you guys know that a lot of things are changing. And it might come a day where you can't meet right here. And we might have to go to the underground. Might have to go in your shop, you know.
Hey, that's
yeah. You might have to turn your shop in. You know, the outside will be a design shop, but the inside of it be where we meet, and you have Bibles that you have to hide and stuff.
Put a sign out: upholstery classes. Come on in.
But anyway, get them in there. But it's changing every day. And we do have liberty so far, don't we? We should be thankful because, you know, you guys have been overseas. Some of you have and been studying some things. You cannot walk down the road and talk Bible. They will lock you up. And sometimes we forget about the liberty that we have and the privilege that we have and that we should be using it instead of ignoring it. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was accused on political grounds for religious beliefs. And what you have thought, what would you have thought about Paul in jail for treason against Rome? He wasn't that way, was he? Paul was in jail as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. Paul says, I suffer these things. Why? Because he was just an ornery old guy? You know, wanted to have his way. You know that not to be true. He wasn't in there stealing hubcaps or, you know, that type of thing. It's because he was preaching a book. And he was preaching the gospel. And the gospel that God, Christ gave him like no other gospel. And he was arrested for that. Have you ever been arrested for preaching?
Yeah.
You have?
Not yet.
Okay, well, yeah. And somebody says, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And you watch some of these street preachers, you know, and they're out there and you listen to them. And some of them's got the message wrong. And they believe sincerely that they're right, don't they? But sometimes they're sincerely wrong. And you listen to them. We was down in Virginia Beach not so long ago. And this one guy, I mean, he was sweating with the bullhorn. He's out there. And I went up to him and I touched his shoulder. And you could tell when he turned, he was going to think, you know, he's ready to give you a rebuke. I said, keep preaching. You know, if you can't do it yourself, get behind somebody who does. Nebuchadnezzar got mad. Let's go on a few more minutes. when you cross a man's religion, guess what he does?
Punish you. Make an example of that.
He gets mad, don't he? Mm-hmm. You've probably never been down that road before. Mm-hmm. Have you, Benny? You cross somebody's religion, you see how loving they can be. You see how they offer you, sit down and have a piece of pie, we'll talk about it. No, they get mad. He gets angry. He's in a fury. They're not going to bow down, then what? Burn them. Verse 13. But not just burn them, watch what he says. Then Nebuchadnezzar is in his rage and fury, command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I set up? You know, I keep shaking my head about this because he knew they wasn't going to. He knew the God they was going to serve. But just get a group of people behind your earlobes and get you to convince you that they're doing wrong. You know, it's not bad enough Satan does it. Get a group of people behind it. Not bad enough you do it. This ain't right. I'm going to do what I want to do. Set up. He's going to judge them on the basis of what they support. He doesn't ask, is your doctrine right? Hey, you just got the same God. You still serving the same God that, you know, showed me these dreams? That put me in this power? He didn't say that, did he? He says, what do you support, them or me? Don't you support me? That type of thing. Do you know what the religious system of the world judge you on? What are they going to judge you on?
Compliance.
There you go. Compliance. They'll judge you on what you support. I'm not talking about the Browns or the Indians. I'm talking about religion, guys. They will judge you. And you know as well as I know, you probably passed, I know Nanette probably passed 25 churches on the way over here.
52.
She's counted them. 52 churches from here to there. You think they all say the same thing? Not at all. And they will judge you on that. Are you for me or against me? I watch preachers do that, guys. Am I going to be your spiritual daddy? If I'm going to be your spiritual daddy, you better listen to me. And you better not be over here, over there. And you go like this. Oh, you know, he's a man of God. He won't lie to me. Yeah. Guilty.
Unless you're sitting at the back, right?
But look. He says, do you know what counts, guys? You know what counts? It isn't whether you're against me or for me. It's what the book says.
Amen.
This is the book. This is the authority. This is what guides you and judges you. And it's not man's book. It's the book. And you've been down that road before. Oh, man just wrote that. You know, it's just sad. What does God say to do? That's what counts. And people say they're not interested in what God says. And many of you have been down that road before. And doesn't make any difference if they are interested or not. Let God be true and what? Every man a liar. If it's what God says, then it's true and it's what counts. If you don't believe in the law of gravity, does that change anything with God?
No.
If you don't believe the world's round or flat, does that change anything with God?
No.
It don't. Does it believe whether you believe in him or not? Does that change anything, God?
Yes.
It doesn't change anything.
He's still truth. Right. Whether you believe it or not, it's still truth. That's what I'm trying to get at. Verse 15, right quick. They're going to give Shadrach, Meshach another chance. Look at this. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sabbat, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye will be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? If you worship, guess what? Good. You're accepted. You won't be burned. But verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this manner. They didn't say, give me 10 minutes. They didn't say, let me go, you know, Puerto Rico, vacate for a little while. Let me get with my wife. Let me see what she says. They didn't consider the options. And the answer was what? They came back with the right answer. Next lesson we'll pick up right there where it's at. And you need to look at that careful. And we'll break it down next week. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.